Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Daniel Hall. Daniel is an avid writer, speaker, and occasional newspaper columnist. His popular ebook, Speak on Cruise Ships, helps people do what he's been doing since 2002, serving as an enrichment speaker for the cruise industry. In addition to all this, he has both a law and a nursing degree. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Daniel.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Wonderful. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
It actually happened quite by accident. I did not set out to be a speaker. It was a means to an end. And the fact of the matter is once I started doing it, I discovered that I absolutely loved it. And kept with it, basically. But the story goes, I was practicing law, I was a baby lawyer, and I was in desperate need of a vacation, okay, working lots of hours and just really burning out. And I got a telephone call from my travel agent that did the bookings for the whole law firm that I worked for, and she had a great deal on a cruise. And she called me and offered me this deal, and it was so good that I basically booked it on the spot because it actually fit in my calendar, you know, which is a big deal in a lawyer's world.
I can imagine.
So I basically just went ahead and booked this thing because the deal was really good, and again, I could do it. I could take the time away. Now, what folks probably don't know about me is I am frugal, okay? My default is frugality. My wife calls it something else. I'll let you decide what that is. But I'm always looking, okay, Karma? I'm always looking for a better deal, how to sweeten a deal, how to make a transaction more attractive. And this particular transaction was no different. And I wanted to put together a way that I could either upgrade my cabin or get some freebie, shore excursion or bottle of wine or something. And because I got a decent cabin, it wasn't the best cabin, but it wasn't the bowels of the ship. It was just a decent cabin, I think, on the third or fourth deck, and I wanted something a little bit better, but I didn't want to pay for it. So I'm thinking to myself, well, how can I get the cruise line to give me an upgrade on a cabin? And I'm thinking, how can I actually make that happen? I remembered when I was about 12 years old taking a cruise with my parents, and on that cruise, there was a presenter who I went to his program. It was on stock market investing, in fact. Yes, even at a 12-year-old was interested in that sort of thing. But I stuck around after this guy's talk and sort of chatted with him for a little while, and I learned that he was just a fellow passenger. And I also learned that he was compensated in some way, though I didn't really have the presence of mind to figure that out or ask about it. So I have this recollection, right, of this
right.
past meeting. So I thought, you know, I'm going to see whether or not the cruise company may be interested in me doing a talk in exchange for this upgraded cabin. Okay, that was the quid pro quo. So I called the travel agent that did our booking, and I basically ran the idea by her. She gave the thought a decidedly cool reception. In fact, you could tell she would be much more interested in trying to sell me an upgrade than trying to get it free.
Right.
It's understandable. I mean, I can understand that. But I also can be quite persuasive when I want to be, and I reminded her that our firm did a lot of business with her travel agency, and if she wanted to continue to have at least my business, that it'd be a good idea if she helped me out in this situation. Well, she saw the truth of that reasoning, and she decided to help me. And she said, all right, here's basically, she says, I don't know whether it'll work or not, but here's who you need to call, or the department that you need to call at the cruise line. And I said, thank you very much. And then the next thing was what really freaked me out. It freaks me out in retrospect, because what I did was I called this department at the cruise line's headquarters, and on the first half a ring, the exact person I needed to talk to book me, answered the phone. And I've since learned that that never happens, or very, very infrequently does that ever happen. And not only that, but when she answered the phone, she was harried, brusque, not altogether friendly. So I went very, very quickly to my work. I explained that I was a paying fare passenger, and I gave her the ship and the departure date and all those details, and I asked her politely whether now would be a good time to talk. And she said, well, what do you have on your mind? And that was enough permission for me. So I basically said I wanted to exchange a talk, you know, on a subject in exchange for an upgraded cabin. Now, here's the rub. Before I made this call, I had written out a series of about 7 titles. And I'm pretty good at naming things. Not great, but pretty good. Okay, I could come up with some pretty compelling titles. And I had some pretty compelling titles. So when she said, well, what did you have in mind to talk about? I basically read my list verbatim. And I got to near the bottom of the list, and she goes, ooh, I like that one. And I think, by the way, this was, again, in 2002, it was a talk called eBay Gold, The Neophyte's Guide to Making Money with Online Auctions. That was the name of this thing. And by the way, I had sold a few things on eBay at that point, and, you know, even some collectibles and some real estate. So I wasn't a power seller, but I did know my way around eBay. At any rate, she goes, oh, I like that topic. She says, but I'm sorry, we don't do upgrades. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God. But she says, if you would like to come on this cruise that you're coming on anyway and do the talk on an audition basis, we will have somebody evaluate it and you. And if we like you, we will ask you into our enrichment program. That's what it's called, an enrichment program. And if that happens, then you can be approved to cruise anytime, anywhere. All you got to do is send me an email and let me know where and when you want to go. And I did one of these numbers with my phone. I sort of took it down from my ear and looked at it in a sort of utter amazement. I don't know if you've ever done that. I'm sure you probably have. You're like, you're not entirely believing what you're hearing. It's just like a dream. And that was basically how I reacted. But I very quickly put the phone back up to my ear and I said, yes, ma'am, I would be very happy to do an audition for you. So now I want you to understand something. Never up until this point had I spoken in front of a group. I mean, I guess that's not entirely true. I had speech class in college, but it wasn't something that I was doing regularly, okay?
Right.
I was just basically an unafraid guy, okay? I just think it's cool to get myself out there and shake it up and see what happens.
Right.
Well, this is a perfect example of that. And as a result, I did go on this cruise. You'll even hear me right now. I'm not that good of a speaker. I'm just not. I'm an okay speaker, and I get better as time goes by and as I practice more. But at that point, you know, I would stutter and sputter and stammer and just, you know, make all sorts of technical mistakes from the platform. But I was very passionate about what I was saying, and I was well prepared, and I knew my stuff.
Right.
And I also had a little outline that I gave to, was actually a sort of a follow-along guide that I gave to participants in my class, and I got up and did it. And I knew, first off, they put me in the Internet Cafe, because it was an Internet type of training or Internet type of topic. So they put me in the Internet Cafe, and I don't know if you've ever been in a cruise ship Internet Cafe, but they're not all that large.
Right.
And basically, they packed it out, and it was standing room only, and there was like 50 people there or more. Needless to say, a bunch of them, after my presentation, stuck around and wanted to ask me questions, and so I kind of figured it went well. Although, again, technically, my speaking wasn't all that good. I was not all that good of a speaker. So that cruise ended. I came home on a Sunday. I made it back into my office on a Tuesday, and on my voicemail at my office was this cruise line contact who had initially booked me. And basically, she just gushed with enthusiasm about how great of a job I did. And not only did the passengers love me, but the cruise director and the cruise director staff loved me. And then she followed this voicemail up with a, and you're approved to cruise anytime, anywhere you want to go. And let me ask you a question, Karma. How many times do you think I listened to that voicemail?
I would say at least a dozen.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. So that is how I basically got started. I just started doing 2 to 3 cruises a year, and until 2005 when I really learned, or really learned, but I just sort of figured out that no one was really teaching this stuff to folk, then I wrote the book, And that sort of changed my life, actually. That's how it got started. I know that's a long-winded answer, but that's the story.
That's a great story. It's like it was totally meant to be.
It kind of is. Exactly. It was very, very odd in that way.
Well, given this experience, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you are born to be able to do, and why?
Do I think it's learned? Yes, I think it can be learned. I'm living proof of that. Because natural ability-wise, you know, I'm sort of low on the scale, I think. I mean, I've seen other speakers, again, that are much better, more dynamic, better speakers than I. But over the years, I've learned some of the tricks that they seem to use and seem to work well for them, and it's made me a better speaker. Today, I could certainly hold my own on the platform.
You know, I've actually seen you speak, and although you may not have the polish of one of those really fancy speakers, I think what really makes you strong as a speaker is that you're very passionate about what you're talking about.
You have to be. Exactly right.
That totally engages the audience. You're just such a human being on the stage that it's just like you're our friend up there.
Exactly. That is a lot of it, and thank you for saying that, but a lot of that is transparency and being whoever it is you are. When you climb up on a stage, you've got to be you, you know, with all the flaws and all the foibles. But if you're coming in your heart from a good place where you're really trying to change the lives of your audience members by what's coming out of your mouth and what you're communicating to them, you could have, yeah, all these little technical glitches and still be a very effective speaker, effective on a lot of different levels, effective in getting your point of view across, effective in persuading people to adopt your idea or to buy your product or whatever it happens to be. And that is, I think, a seminal point of being a good speaker, is not just speaking on a topic, but getting your audience members to take what you're teaching them and use it to better their lives.
Now, imagine that you are a public speaking superhero. What do you believe would be your main superpower?
That's a good question. What would be my main superpower? I think just the ability to have folks relate to you on such a level that whatever you're trying to put across to them, they're going to believe. Because one of the big deals when I speak or write or do any of that stuff is that I do so in such a way that I'm believed, that I have credibility and rapport with folks. Because without that, man, you've got problems as a speaker.
Definitely. In fact, I've seen a few speakers where they probably started off being like that, but they had given that presentation and that talk so often that they became disconnected from it.
Yeah, they were on autopilot.
Yeah, and it was just so obvious that any passion that was there was no longer, and it ruined the whole presentation.
Yeah, so you've got to be pumped up to do that, or don't bother.
Yeah, totally agree. So what advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop that particular superpower as well?
Always strive to come from a place of utter and total honesty with whatever it is you're saying or doing, and that will come through. Here's the thing. Your audience, they're sitting there, and you just can't picture them with antenna on the tops of their head. They're sort of probing you, and everything that you're saying and everything that you're doing is being evaluated and cross-referenced and checked. So if you're not coming from a place of just down and dirty, utter honesty, you're going to be detected. You're going to be detected as a fraud, and maybe not at that level, but there's going to be something that's going to be amiss for some people, and you're just not going to be as effective as you could be.
Yeah, I can imagine, because there's so many different reasons why someone would give a speech. I mean, some of it's to sell products at the back of the room, some of it's to gain more business. And whenever you're trying to get somebody to take action, including take money out of their wallet, they're only going to do it if they know, like, and trust you on some level.
Exactly. And the really important thing there is that, like, all of the stories you tell in your program and whatever you're speaking, and by the way, you need to incorporate lots and lots of stories into your presentation, because people learn in that way. Humans were hardwired to learn in stories, in fact. But all of those stories need to be absolutely 100% true.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you tell them right up front that this is a made-up story.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today on Public Speaking Superpowers.
It is my pleasure. Thank you, Karma. And I commend you for putting this together and doing it, because this is information that folks interested in public speaking really, really need.
Well, this is the end of today's session of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.